Empathy is something that we hear a lot about nowadays, and it's a good thing. But I think it's important to really define the differences between empathy and sympathy. And this is something I didn't quite know how to define until recently. And it got me thinking more about really what empathy means in the design world. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 27 of Design Chat with Josh. I am your host, Josh Reach, and in this design podcast about all sorts of design stuff, we're going to talk about empathy. This is really geared a lot towards product designers, those of us who are, maybe UX designers, and we even go as far as having an kind of an empathize phase in our process when we're designing. And this is, empathy, like, it's definitely been something that's been thrown around a lot lately. I feel like in the past few years, it's just become this, like, buzzword, but it's a very important buzzword, in my opinion. But you need to understand what it really, really is. And, my understanding over the years of what empathy really is in the design process and when you're designing for people is, you have to get to know people on an emotional level. You need to get to know your users, the people that are using your product or going to be using your product. You got to understand them on an emotional level, not just on a, statistical level. It's not necessarily a qualitative or quantitative, I should say. It's not necessarily a quantitative kind of insight. It's more of that qualitative look at, really understanding what an individual person needs and then looking at another individual person and then kind of getting a bunch of people and seeing, like, okay, this is important to these people. And here's why. And, it depends on, I guess, what industry and what kind of products you're creating. But, it could be something that's very, maybe it's a very serious, very, very sad situation, right, that you have to understand. Maybe it's just a common frustration as a consumer that you need to understand. Maybe it's something more exciting. What kind of gets people riled up and excited about something that you might be designing for? And ultimately, it is problem-based, I guess, right? Like, there is a problem you have to solve for. As product designers, we're here to make people's lives easier, right? Not more difficult, not to just put shiny stuff on things they already have. Like, we need to do something that actually makes, solving a problem easier for somebody. But that empathy phase, I've always kind of been very, I get very, like, emotionally invested into my user base, right? If I go through, like, any user testing or something, I'm always very, like, reading between the lines and trying to understand and think of them as a human. And that's empathizing in a way, right? But it's really the beginning stage, the first stage of the process of product design is this empathy. But I don't think we really quite understand maybe what it is and what it entails. And recently I heard something, it was a clear definition between empathy and sympathy. And this helped kind of solidify it a little more for me and got me thinking more. And that's why this episode now exists, because I just started thinking more and more about, okay, the difference between empathy and sympathy and why, you need to make sure you're not looking at things in a sympathetic way towards your users, and you need to make sure you're looking at them from an empathetic way. And to kind of define it a little more, to give a situation, empathy is kind of, say, there's something going on with a person, with your user, and they might complain about something, but you kind of dig in a little more and you find out that maybe it's because, the reason why they can't successfully do this task or they don't, why they have this problem is because of a hardship in life. And so maybe they're financially struggling. And the reason why they're financially struggling is maybe because they, I don't know, they had a run of bad luck and maybe they have some health issues or something. And you kind of dig deeper and deeper and deeper. And instead of saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry, but that's awful, and then just kind of noting it down and not doing anything," you kind of really start to feel their pain. And though we may not always, and usually we don't, experience the same things as our user, that are users, we start to maybe associate some things in our lives that brought that same kind of level of pain, discomfort. Not to compare it to be like, you know, well, I had this go on, you know, too, you know, and always be trying to one-up them, but to kind of be like, oh, okay, like, I get it, you know, this, you feel this way because you're going through this financial hardship. Yeah, I remember this, you know, and you think in the back of your mind, like, okay, yeah, you know, I've been through this before. I, you know, say after college, you know, my student loan debt was so bad, I had to move in with a family member or something like that, you know, or, and it may not be the same as like a hardship of losing a job and having kids or something, but you're understanding, like you're kind of empathizing, you're trying to feel that emotional pain and be in that mindset of that person. Whereas sympathizing, they may tell you all these things, they're having financial troubles, it's because of this hardship that happened in life, maybe they lost a job too, who knows, right? And you as like kind of the designer, you're looking at them and you're saying, oh man, oh wow, okay. And you're trying to be optimistic. You try to turn it into something like, well, you know, hey, you know, at least, you know, at least you're not dead, right? You know, ooh, you know, at least you have your health, you know, and you know, that's sympathizing, right? That's trying to build somebody up to make them feel better. Okay, it's not that it's bad, and I feel like as people we try to do this anyway, where we try to make others feel better. We don't want to make them feel bad, but empathizing isn't trying to make your users feel better. It's trying to say, I understand, I get it. You know, this is a problem, and you know, this is what I'm going to help solve for, basically. I hope that makes sense. That's kind of what I learned a little recently. And to me, you know, there's much more detail that you can get into. There's many resources out there, I'm sure, where you can understand and define empathy versus sympathy. But for me, I think through some lenses, I was looking at it from a sympathetic way, and being a very big people pleaser. You know, I like to, you know, very, very much care about people feeling good, right? And I will try to sympathize maybe with my users too much, not empathize with them. I hope that makes sense, which is kind of where, again, this is where this whole episode kind of comes from, because, you know, there is a clear difference between empathy and sympathy, but I also think it's important for people to understand that you really do need to empathize with your user base. This isn't just a buzzword. This isn't just like a phase or some craze that the industry is going through right now, where they're like empathy, 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 you know, and it's like, well, yeah, it is really, really important. But it is a very emotionally, I think it's a little emotionally taxing, especially when you do it the right way, right? Like you need to be in the right mindset to kind of take on that pain of the user. And it may not be as like horrible as like a financial hardship and things like that, you know, you may be just solving for some frustration or whatever, but you need to understand that, you know, minor frustration, right? Some people might call it like a first world problem, but it, you know, it might be a true frustration of your user base. Understand it. And it may not have ever affected you in your life, but try to associate it with something that maybe is at that same level. Try to get into that mindset. For me, you know, and I'll kind of give an example of me, the way I've kind of realized that I empathize with my users is I design for a lot of seniors, a lot of people who are over the age of 65, and I'm designing digital products for them. And they have a lot of physical ailments, right? There's some physical limitations, you know, they're not, you know, kind of helpless in by any stretch of the imagination, but there are some physical barriers that you need to be aware of. Eyesight, for instance, especially when you're designing mobile apps, right, for a senior base. And I think I've talked about this before, but when you're designing mobile apps for a senior, you know, audience, for a senior user, phone screens are great for a 30-year-old's eyes and for a 20-year-old's eyes. But when you're 70 years old, your eyesight goes, right? And most of the time, you know, some of you are lucky out there, right? But reading those screens can be very, very difficult. And I've noticed this, you know, just something that's weird, but, you know, always observing people at airports or while I'm traveling, especially, is the best time. But you can kind of look and peer over and just quickly see, like, how big is the text on their screens? Did they increase the size of the text on their screens? And most of them have. You know, I'm even seeing it with my own family members, right? Like, as they get older, they've set the default text size on their, you know, mobile OS to be much bigger because they need to read, because their eyesight's going, right? My eyesight is pretty good. I mean, I wear glasses, but I can read my screens, and you know, I don't have an issue reading a small screen. But where I can empathize with my user and understand why it might be difficult for them to read something, especially if it's small, is if it's small and even if it's, you know, has a hard color contrast that doesn't provide enough contrast for the user, I can empathize with that because I'm colorblind. Very, very red-green colorblind. So for me, I have a hard time seeing certain colors, especially on a screen. They may be crystal clear, but if there's not enough contrast or if it's a weird color combination, I can understand that frustration. I can empathize with my senior user base to be like, okay, my eyesight's good, but I can't see color. So I know the frustration when you can't read something on the screen. And you know, you have to kind of really stare at it. You got to squint, and it can give you a headache sometimes. And it may not be because my vision's blurry, it's just because I can't see the color, which, oddly enough, too, is something that especially males, you know, men who get older and they're in their senior years, they also lose a lot of the color in their eyes. They can't really see color that well. So I can really directly identify with those users and empathize with them. You know, whereas if I just kind of looked at it and I wasn't colorblind or I didn't have any way to associate my, you know, poor eyesight with using a phone, you know, I might be like, oh, you know, that really sucks. Yeah, I'm sorry you can't read that. You know, maybe you should just, you know, but at least you can increase the font size on your OS, right? You know, that's sympathizing. You know, that's not empathizing. That's not saying, okay, yeah, wow, that's not a good design because you can't see the contrast in color. And plus it's too small, which doesn't help the contrast either, you know, so now you really can't see it. You know, I get that frustration. I understand, you know, okay, let's make sure that we design things large enough and bold enough and have enough contrast in our colors so that typography can be legible, even on a small, say, 4-inch screen like the iPhone SE or something. Actually, I think that's a 5-inch screen, like the iPhone SE. So that's kind of the way I've been looking at it, you know, of empathizing versus sympathizing. There's a big difference. Now, I think the other important thing to remember when it comes to focusing on empathizing with your users is this isn't just like a one and done deal. this is what differentiates it from, you know, sympathy versus empathy. Sympathy is kind of a one and done. You're like there for moral support and, you know, you try to brighten somebody's day maybe and be like, okay, but you don't get too involved and you're done and it's over with and you maybe never touch that subject again, right? But when it comes to empathy, it's kind of this ongoing thing. And the one thing I think I've noticed at least is, especially when you work with a specific type of person, a certain age group, a certain demographic, a certain region in the world that is different, especially from yourself, is you start to adopt that mindset of your user. And it's kind of this almost like a split personality in a weird way, because you have your own thoughts and views. And I've noticed this, like, you know, designing for senior citizens, I have my own thought process. I have my own, I'm very, you know, more technologically savvy, obviously. I have less physical limitations and barriers in using technology, right? But I also think of things the way they would think of things. So, you know, those previous episodes where I maybe talked about foldable phones, or I talked about, you know, the designing for voice, I know that my user base probably isn't going to be adopting that technology anytime soon, right? And so I don't try to like push it. I don't try to, you know, I maybe don't even make the decision of, you know, as a company or as a team, you may not even make that decision of even pursuing a certain technology if you know your user base and you're able to kind of have that empathy on a constant level. But I don't think this is not an excuse though to like just do it once, you know, and in terms of like, you know, studying and getting to know your user base. You don't just do it once and then forget about it for a year or two and then come back to it and be like, okay, we're going to refresh and, you know, interview our users again. No. Like, it's constant. It is constant. Because literally, I mean, you think about how fast the world changes nowadays. I mean, year by year, it changes a lot, right? And I think it's easy to say, like, in 5 years, the way people interact with technology now is going to be much different than, you know, they will 5 years from now, right? But even from 1 year to the next, something dramatic can happen. And it really, again, it depends on who you're designing for. If it's a very specific type of person, a very specific region, then, you know, if something dramatic happens to that reason or region, and that demographic, like, you know, it could be an economical disaster or maybe an economical rising, you know, and a good thing, you know, like things get better. You know, maybe your user base has more money. Maybe they have less money. Maybe they have different priorities. You know, maybe they, you know, something, some natural disaster happened and, you know, something that was a priority to them in their lives is no longer a priority to them in their lives. They've shifted their views, right? And you got to be ready to kind of pivot, you know, maybe even your entire product, right? If something like that happens. For me, again, I'm going to use my own, you know, experience with designing for seniors, but I know that, you know, people who are in, you know, 55 to 60 years old are much, they have a much different relationship with technology than somebody that's 65 to 70 years old right now. So in a couple of years, those people are going to be aging in, and you got to be ready, right? I have to be ready for that. And so, you know, it's just, it's a constant thing. It's never ending. And it's not just at the beginning of your process either. You know, for me, most of my experience, the process has been a little jumbled, right? But I work a lot in kind of doing a lot of user testing. And that's where empathy really, like I really start to understand and have that empathy towards my users, because I understand them in a way where I'm seeing them struggle or succeed with whatever I'm designing. And so I know like what's working and what's not. And it's a constant. It just doesn't end. You know, it doesn't. And whereas sympathy does end. Sympathy goes away after a while. You know, you can be sympathetic, but then, you know, your thoughts and prayers are noted, and then everybody moves on, and the situation really isn't any better, right? Empathy, you have that constant pain. You felt what that person's felt, or that good feeling that that person has felt, you know, that kind of, that high that they felt. And you can relate to it more. I think another interesting thing is, you know, there's a big focus on rural aging, for instance. So here in America, and making aging in rural America be better. A company I'm working with in particular has a big focus on that. There's kind of a thing that you know, my particular leadership, you know, and CEO takes very, you know, is proactively engaging in. And you may have seen the connectivity summit thing that I had designed for about 2 years back. It's still going. And it was really exciting because I wasn't able to just be like, oh, wow, yeah, okay, those are the struggles of aging in a place where it's kind of being forgotten. You know, rural America is kind of being forgotten. The urban areas are growing and generations are leaving. The younger generations are leaving the rural areas. And so the older generations are being left behind in rural America. And it's an issue. It's a big issue that we need to tackle. But for me, I may live in a major city right now in Phoenix, Arizona at the moment, right? But I came from rural upstate New York. And then I also lived in many, many other places, military bases throughout the country. But for a good amount of time, I lived in upstate New York in rural America. And if you've ever been to upstate New York, you know just how rural that is up in those mountains, okay? It's nothing like New York City. And those of you who are listening who have never been to New York is not just the city. The city is a very, very small place compared to the rest of New York State. Most of New York State is actually farms and mountains and things like that. And so I know the struggles. I know the struggles of, you know, driving 1 hour or more just to get to a Walmart so you can do grocery shopping. I know that struggle. I know how difficult in the winter, you know, when there's a big snowstorm, not being able to get to a doctor or not being able to get to buy groceries because the whole county is shut down from a winter storm and you can't make it, you know, the 30-minute drive maybe to the neighboring town just to their grocery store. I know the struggles that people go through. So I have that empathy because I've literally lived through it, not as a senior citizen, but I do understand the struggles of what it's like to live in rural America. So add on top of that, you know, my empathy towards seniors in terms of physical limitations or different motivations or different priorities that I've learned over the past, you know, 2 years, really, it all starts to come together. You know, again, I can never claim myself to be the user, and I am still not the user. I will always chant that mantra in my mind, right? And you have to remember that you are not the user. When you're most 99.9% of the time, even if you are the age range and somebody that uses a certain product, you're still a designer. You're not the user. You think of things much differently than everybody else. And so you're never the user. And so you can't just think that, oh yeah, I know everything there is to know. We can just jump right into this product and create a solution and we'll know exactly what it is. You could probably do that. And then when you test it later, it's most likely going to fail in many places. So it's constant, you know, but it helps you get a step ahead and maybe rule out some things that maybe aren't even worth testing or even worth asking about to your user base, because you maybe already know certain things and certain reactions that they'll have. I hope that makes sense. Yeah. I just rambled a lot on, but it's so important for us as designers, though, to really understand what empathy is. And it is not a buzzword, I swear. But it is a buzzword if you don't understand the actual definition of it and you don't live and breathe it when you're designing. Now, here's the really tricky bit, though, is you may have a lot of empathy towards your user base, right? You may have a lot of empathy towards the people that you're designing for. But what about the rest of the team? And the rest of the team, you can share those findings that you have with them. You can share that knowledge and you can try to convey that emotional feeling that you had when you empathized with the user, right? But in reality, they need to experience it as well. And this is something I think maybe a lot of people fail at, is they might think, well, we're just going to have a researcher do this, or we're just going to have a designer handle this, you know, interaction with our users, you know, and then document it and then share it out, right? But that's not how product works. That's not how this world works. Even, you know, your developers and engineers, especially your, you know, product managers, your researchers, your, you know, I would say even your executives should be empathizing and going into maybe some of these tests, some of these interviews with your user base. And you don't want to obviously like bring a giant swarm of people every time you do a test or every time you're doing an interview with one of your users. That could definitely intimidate them, but rotate those people out a little bit. I think it really actually helps more when you have like small little teams that work on certain products instead of like small little teams that work on many, many, many products. Right? Or a really large team that just jumps across many different products or something like that. When teams are more laser focused, I think, on something or on one specific product, it's easier to kind of rotate that team out, right? And have them jump in on those kind of interactions and interviews and tests with users. If you're doing more of like a, gosh, I could, just imagining too, like, if you're using a big research company maybe to do interviews, conduct interviews with your target demographic, and you have one of those like room set up or an environment set up with like a two-way mirror. Is it two-way mirror or one-way mirror? I don't remember how it goes, but anyway, one of those, you know, basically the police interview boxes, interrogation rooms. God, I can't think of the word right now. But anyway, you can obviously cram a bunch of people in there, right? To listen and hear. But it still, I think, helps too to kind of talk. You know, I think about, you know, for me going and actually interfacing and talking to seniors about fitness and understanding what's important to them. Even if we're not even talking about the products I'm designing, it helps me get into that mindset. And I am able to kind of say, yeah, I had that conversation. I heard, I spoke to them about this, and I understand, because I interfaced with them, versus just watching them in real time. But even watching them in real time and doing some sort of test or doing some sort of interview still has more of a emotional impact and that emotional connection, I think, than if you just take the research, you gather all this, you know, all this empathy, and you're like, oh my God, and you're fired up about it, and you're excited about it, and you understand the issues and the problems, or maybe the excitement that that somebody that you're designing for has. But when you share it out, it doesn't really have the same effect on the rest of the team, you know, unless it's coming like straight from the mouth of that person that you're designing for. So I think it's important. I think it's important to get everybody involved. I think it's important for everybody to hear, to listen. You know, gosh, even last year I went to a fitness instructor conference, and you know, I went with a product owner, I went with a developer, and you know, I went with other, you know, instructors, and it didn't matter what our background was. We all had a part of designing a tool for our, you know, fitness instructors. That's another aspect of something that I've worked on. But just as an example, though, you know, it didn't matter what your background was. Everybody had this, you know, opportunity to be like, yeah, actually, I want to go because I want to kind of get in minds, into the minds and into that mindset, and hear and listen and observe to what's important for fitness instructors. And this is a great opportunity because it was a convention, right? So, I mean, you had thousands upon thousands of them, and classes and seminars that were tailored for them, but you also could go to kind of hear the questions that they ask. It's kind of like you're not actually interviewing them, but other people are, you know? I learned a lot, let me tell you. I skipped a design conference last year to go to that, and it was a fantastic decision, even though this year that's not happening. I'm absolutely going to Phoenix Design Week this year. You know, to me, like, it was very valuable to go to this because I understood a lot about seniors. I didn't quite understand a lot about the instructors, other than a few interactions that I had with them in, you know, classes or, you know, at the office. But everybody should have a part of it. You know, it's not something that you can really, empathy is not something you can really hand down in a document or a summary. It's something that people need to experience on your team. And so take turns doing it. You know, it's also, and you know, I should mention too, the designer should almost always be there when you're interviewing, either as an observer or as the actual interviewer themselves. They should be there. They should always be a part of that. Same with like the product manager should always be there, right? They should always be listening and observing. But there's always opportunities, you know, there's always going to be opportunities to do things. Another thing I like to do actually too is, you know, if there's any recorded sessions of user tests, share those out with the team so that everybody has an opportunity to listen and watch somebody struggle with something that maybe the team created, or even better, somebody have great success interacting with something that you all created. So you get to kind of celebrate, you know, wow, this really worked. Okay, cool. And look at how much joy it brought them, and look at how much easier it was for them to do this. This is great. And it kind of gives you a little more motivation too. And it just justifies, it helps, you know, sharing those recorded sessions out can help. But I still think that if you were directly interfacing with people, even outside of user testing, but directly interfacing with your user base, it helps build that dedication and that type of empathy that we all need on the entire product team. So that's where I'm going to kind of leave all of you today. I want to hear from you, obviously. I always do, right? I want to hear from all of you. I enjoy hearing other views, opinions, or maybe people who do agree that yes, there is a clear difference between empathy and sympathy. Maybe you've experienced this yourself. Share those stories, share those things with me, share them with the world, really. You know, if it's posted online, it's to the world. And then always, you know, I'm going to end this with, you know, if you've liked this podcast series so far, if you're enjoying it, be sure to leave a nice rating and review. I've seen a few of you have already. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate the kind words. I appreciate the reviews. And if you have any improvements as well, I am totally open to any recommendations that you have, any requests that you have as well. I've heard of requests already that I'm thinking about gearing up to do one of those episodes. But anyway, that's all I got though. Until next week, get out there and understand your users. Truly empathize with them. Like, feel their pain and feel their joy. Don't just sympathize with them. That's what I'll leave you with. All right. Have a great week, everyone, and I'll talk to you next week.